Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And by the way, Mark Baser joins us in the Allstate Showcase studio or Skyline studio. How are you, Mark Baser?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Mark is scheduled to join us to talk about his interview show festival, which is coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and then the mayor had to go quit.
John, we're thinking of going on Friday. What are you doing? Do you have plans?
We're going Thursday.
Oh.
Can you go Thursday?
No.
Sure you can. You can go Thursday.
Come Thursday and then spend the night there, and then you'll still be there
at
Friday.
The hideout. Before we get to some of the things you're writing and talking about, I just want to read a couple of texts. From 815, one word, John, from your last caller. If people had job opportunities, gangs would not be so tempting and lucrative. What do you need for jobs? One word, education. It's all about the economy and education. We're talking about what the mayor needs to address. From 630, John, my sister lives in the city and has talked to some of the gang members, and they all say they don't want a job because the job doesn't pay anywhere close to what they make being in a gang selling drugs and guns. 630, different number, says, hey, John, Chicago, it's not the guns, it's the people. 815, BS to all of this. People aren't naturally drawn to crime. Given the option of earning an honest living versus gang banging, many will choose to work. And 847 says, Rahm Emanuel is well qualified and intelligent and inherited a mess when he became the mayor. He's far superior to all the other candidates running. What do you make of all of this, Mark Baser? You have any wisdom for us on this?
You know, it's funny. Most of whenever the mayor has done something or is in the news prior to today, when I'm reading about it, I'll go to my Twitter feed, and for whatever reason, most of the people I know or follow or are retweeted by people I know seem to be on the liberal side, and they all can't stand Rahm, right? But then I'll go and I'll read a story on, let's say, the Tribune site, and I'll look at the comments, and a lot of the comments are from conservative people. And they can't stand Rahm. And obviously it's for very different reasons. Sometimes, you know, people think that the way he's approached crime on the liberal side is that he's been too draconian and too much and let the cops do whatever they want, blah, blah, blah. And then on the other side, it's, well, you've hamstrung the cops. Obviously he was in a position that the irony is he might have felt it seemed from the outside that he was in a position in which I can't win, except for he would have won.
I'm fascinated by how things are connected in ways you cannot imagine when they first happen. So when Whitewater first went down, when the Whitewatergate investigation began, who would have thought that looking into a failed real estate deal in Arkansas would lead to the impeachment of the president and the outing of a young woman named Monica Lewinsky? But the dots just kept getting connected. And you wonder about that sometimes. In this case, I just wonder if Laquan McDonald had not gone out that night, would Rahm be running for re-election? And I think he would be.
Do you think there's a connection with the trial starting tomorrow?
I think only this way. It's been no fun for him. It's been no fun for Chicago. That sounds trivial. I don't mean to trivialize it, but I mean, it's just been very hard, and I think it's going to get worse. And I think the idea of having been mayor the last year and a half and having to be mayor for the next 4 years with that in the middle, who wants that job? And if you don't have to take it, don't take it. And I think that's where Rahm is.
I don't live in the city. I live just outside of the city, but obviously the city matters to me a lot. And I, like you, don't have, it sounds, I guess, weaselly to say, but I don't have a firm belief one way or the other. But, you know, I'll talk to friends, and friends are adamant that he did not have the best interests of a lot of Chicagoans at heart.
I just don't know how you judge that, right? How do you gauge that? If your neighborhood is safe, if your taxes are low, if your flowers are pretty, then I think that's really where most people live. That may sound narrow. The two big issues for a Chicago mayor are crime and schools, if you ask me. Crime and schools. Jobs and the economy, of course. But, I mean, I think you can have a more immediate effect on education in the city. I think you can do very specific things that people can get their head around crime, even if they don't pay off right away. how do you fix the economy? I don't. Yeah. I guess those are the big three, huh?
I think the school closings, in particular, the manner in which it was done, set a lot of people off on the idea that he did not have the communities that were in the most need at heart.
Lots of calls and texts about this. We'll continue to talk about this through the show. And again, our thanks to Gregory Livingston, the reverend who came in the first half hour. Paul Vallis joined us in the first half hour, too. And we've been reading your texts and taking some of your calls. Mark Baser's in the studio Thursday and Friday night at the Hideout, which is a little tavern on the northwest side of Chicago. It's in the city. Would you call that northwest side? No.
It doesn't really have a neighborhood. It's the neighborhood that Amazon might take over, or a new megaplex owned by the megaplex people might take over. It's an endangered neighborhood, to tell you the truth, right now.
It's a neighborhood I can never get my head around.
It's near the Home Depot. That's all you need to know.
It's kind of like Goose Island.
Yeah, it is near Goose Island. It's
Aren't the sanitation trucks or city
they're not
trucks
there anymore?
Parked out
Rahm
there?
Moved. Speaking of Rahm, he moved them to Englewood under the idea that Englewood needed
sanitation trucks,
business, and stuff. But really, it was because this is prime real estate where the Hideout is.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
I mean, watch that space because things are happening there. They're going to build a soccer stadium there, I guess.
On Thursday and Friday, you have your interview show coming up.
Interview show festival, John.
Festival, because
yeah,
it's two nights.
Yeah.
So
it's like kind of like Lollapalooza.
It's a stand-up comedy talk show you do at this bar. It's really fantastic. And, of course, you are able to watch it on Channel 11 these days, too. What's Thursday night's lineup look like?
Thursday night's lineup is great. It's got Renato Mariotti, who is a former federal prosecutor. He ran for attorney general, but he's a big guy on legal analyst on CNN. We've got Laura Jane Grace. She's the lead singer of a punk band named Against Me. She's got a new record out on Bloodshot Records. We're having a barbecue afterwards, which is all the proceeds from the first night go to the Chicago Food Depository. The second night, they go to me. It's going to be cooked by this guy who's the chef at Pacific Standard Time, which is like a hot restaurant right here in River North. And then a young trumpeter named Sam Trump. No relation to the president, I don't think.
Or to trumpets.
He does have a relationship to trumpets.
Yeah, but he's not named after trumpets.
Well, I think he probably changed. I got to ask that. He might have. It might be
name?
A show name. I mean, who plays the trumpet and has their name being Trump?
So his name might be Timmy Clarinet if he became a clarinetist.
Or that might be his real name and he changed it to Trump because of the trumpet.
So anyway, you got a trumpet player coming on.
Yeah, yeah. And he's good. I think it's. We don't normally have two musicians on one show, but this is a festival, John.
So then on Friday, what are you doing?
Friday, we have a jazz musician he's amazing, Micaiah McCraven. We got Rex Hupke from the Chicago Tribune.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love Rex. Samira Ahmed.
Poor Rex. I just feel so bad
Why?
For Rex.
Why?
Because Rex has let this presidency capture him. It's holding his brain captive. And he's a really good writer, and he's a really good journalist and a thinker. But mostly he writes and thinks about the president now. And you may say, great, because I want somebody to continue to shame or expose this president for all of his sins and failings. Listen, I get it. I follow him. I read him. He gets a lot of follows. He's quoted nationally. It's his niche.
Yeah.
It's working for him. But it seems to be crushing his soul.
I should ask him, has your soul been crushed?
Well,
that'll be my first question.
I think it's in play. I literally sometimes worry about his mental health.
I was interviewing for a Chicago magazine piece, Ike Barinholtz, the actor, and he tweets all the time about Trump. And I said to him, you know, how do you separate yourself from, you can't do that. He's like, well, you know what? He's like, I look at it like, today, whatever side you're on, people don't take cigarette breaks anymore. They take rage breaks. And so in the morning, I tweet what I have to say, and then I go on with my day. So maybe Rex does that. Maybe
he's able to compartmentalize.
Yeah. You have your thought, and it looks like to me that's all Ike ever thinks about.
Right.
But
Right. That's fair, because I don't see Rex when he's not tweeting about the president. I only see those tweets. Maybe the rest of the time he's playing ping pong and having a swell time with his friends or doing other things that are productive. I hope that.
The problem is he isn't tweeting about the ping pong.
Well, he should. And also, I think that about the president. When you look at the timestamps on the president's tweets, it's not just in the morning anymore. It's throughout the day. And I think some of the tweets are so specific and important that you'd think those aren't just random one-offs. Those required a little thought and time and thumb work. And so
thumb work.
So seriously, so it's like you in other words, Donald,
whose psyche are you worried more about, Trump's or Rex's?
I really both. And I think my point is that this stream of consciousness of his really is his full-time occupation. That's what the president is doing. Firing off things, firing off things, firing off things. What about North Korea? Oh, whatever. Hold on. I'm firing off things.
I know people. There are people who we worked with who become consumed with the president.
You have to work
and
to
it
not
eats
let
them
that
away.
Happen. I'm telling you, Steve. I mean, I've lived on that fence, and I work to try and stay on the sane side. Ella says we got to take a break. I want you also to tell us when we come back what you're writing about for Chicago Magazine, Mark Baser.
This is
WGN. Mark Baser.
Hello.
Your show at The Hideout.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday. Thursday's at 7:30 p.m. Friday's at 6:30 p.m.
The interview show, Chicago.com. Who are you interviewing on Friday?
So that's Micaiah McRaven. He's this jazz musician who will also perform, and he's great. Bing Liu, who directed the documentary called Minding the Gap, which, no joke, right now is the best-reviewed film of the year. It's a story about these kids, now young adults, in Rockford who formed a friendship. Yeah, have you seen that? Have you seen it?
Only know about it.
It's remarkable. So
I thought I don't want to watch a movie about skateboarders in Rockford.
I would say that it's not about either one. I mean, that's where it takes place, and they are skateboarders, but it's really about kids trying to find their way into adulthood. There's like a backdrop of, or not so much a backdrop, but in the foreground of the cycle of domestic violence.
You really like the movie, too.
It snuck up on me. I didn't think I was going to. I kind of thought what you thought. I'm like, I don't know if I want to watch this about skateboarding, but he's on the show. I better watch it.
Yeah.
And then it blew me away. Like, it really is great. It's playing at Cisco right now, I think.
I was a little surprised by the Starz docuseries that they've started about Oak Park River Forest High School, where you're from.
Where I'm from, yeah. So this Bing Liu actually was a segment director or producer on that. And I just interviewed the director of America to Me, Steve James, who obviously directed Hoop Dreams and The Interrupters and the documentary about Roger Ebert. About it, and
did you watch the first episode?
I watched the first five.
What do you think of it?
I think it's. I don't know if this is a unpopular opinion, but the point of the documentary is to show that there is real racial inequity in Oak Park, which is true. There is an achievement gap in Oak Park, and one of the things that Steve wanted to set out to look at is why. Why is this happening in a town in which, whether you, for the most, on the outside, the town looks like it's trying. It's really trying. And it's from its early days in the 60s. I mean, obviously not the earliest days of Oak Park, but when other towns had white flight, Oak Park was making a concerted effort to integrate. And I think most people who live in Oak Park want to live in Oak Park because of its diversity. And he looks at, I think, some really kind of difficult ways in which Oak Park is not measuring up. But
what's your outlier opinion?
My outlier opinion is that I came away from the first five episodes thinking that the kids, I don't know if this is an outlier opinion, the kids who he talks to, both black and white, are remarkable. Like, and they're very hyper aware of what the documentary is about even before they started filming on the subject. I mean, they're very aware that there are problems at the school. And I also thought that the teachers who are self-selected, because these are the ones that agreed to be on camera, for the most part, are heroes. Like, they are putting in, even teachers that some people in the media have called out as being insensitive, and I think there are times when they are, mm-hmm. that they are really trying, and they're doing more than you or I are doing.
This director's going to be on your show, too?
No, I interviewed him for Chicago Magazine, so that's out now.
Well, you're also doing a piece on Jabari Parker, right?
I am. Talking to him tomorrow.
Chicago Bulls star.
Yeah, so he's never played a second yet for the Bulls, but he's from here, and he was on the Bucks, and now he's part of the Bulls, who who are still in the rebuilding phase, I guess. But
I don't know. I think they're going to be coming.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk to him, though.
Writes in Chicago Magazine, so you can read those two articles there. You can also see him on Channel 11. And Thursday and Friday night, you can watch him on stage.
Come on out.
Star-studded lineup of guests.
We're trying to get Rom, too.
Go to theinterviewshowchicago.com.
You know, Rom's got a podcast now. He's trying to take our jobs, is what he's trying to do.
He'll have plenty of time to do it. Thank you, Mark Baser, for joining us, and I will see you on Thursday night.
I appreciate that.
Looking forward to the show.